And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here on Noongar Radio here in Perth. And today, on Health Matters, it's all about hepatitis C. And joining us are experts Dr. Eric Kong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Aids. They join us today in the studio. Firstly, Francine, can you tell us the Francine Aids story?
I'm a Noongar nurse. I finished my training as a registered nurse about 27 years ago. Half my working life's been in the community-controlled health sector in WA at Dervalurigan and the WA Aboriginal Health Council. I've also done my public health training at the Australian National University via a Master of Applied Epidemiology degree program, which saw me working with public health professionals, government departments, and the Dervalurigan Health Service, who supported me with a research project that I did at King Edward Memorial Hospital. So that's me in a nutshell.
And also joining us is Lisa Bastian as well there. Tell us about yourself there, Lisa.
Okay, Jeff. I currently manage the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program at the WA Department of Health. So that program is very much focused on the prevention and control of hepatitis C amongst our priority populations. So I've been doing that for several years, and we're involved in kind of setting directions and funding organisations and programs directly into the community to prevent and control hepatitis C. But I've also got a background in Aboriginal health. I worked for Aboriginal community-controlled organisations in the Goldfields and the Kimberley several years ago.
And joining us in the middle is Frank Farmer. Tell us the Frank Farmer story.
Well, that's a really fantastic story. Thanks, Jeff. I currently work as the Executive Director of Hepatitis WA. Hepatitis WA is a community-based organisation that focuses its work on hepatitis C and hepatitis B. Prior to that, I worked in the Northern Territory for the Northern Territory AIDS and Hepatitis Council. And during that stay in the Territory, I did work with some Aboriginal people, particularly working with Aboriginal gay men and sister girls. And prior to going to the Territory, I worked for the West Australian AIDS Council and as a community education manager. And in that role, I did quite a lot of work with Aboriginal training health workers.
And also joining us in the studio is Dr. Eric Kong. Tell us the Dr. Eric story.
My story is probably not as exciting as Frank's, but I'm a GP in Northern Suburbs and also work for Edith Cowan University and UWA. At ECU, we've got education programs to help health professionals, particularly GPs, to learn more about hepatitis B and C and try to treat people, find people and treat people with these in viruses.
Mm. Well, let's get the first question underway. What is hepatitis C?
Hepatitis C, well, the word hepatitis means inflammation of the liver, and this can be caused by in a number of ways, and it can be caused by viruses, and that's why we talk about viruses such as hepatitis A, B and C, although that extends to viruses D, E and G. So there's quite a range of viral causes for hepatitis, but it can also be caused by alcohol, by some chemicals and by drugs or drug use. Hepatitis C is a blood-borne infection, and by that I mean that it's passed on from person to person by blood contact, and what has to happen is infected blood needs to get from one person's bloodstream into another person's bloodstream. Sometimes we just abbreviate hepatitis C to Hep C, so I think that's probably more familiar with people.
And what's the difference to that from hepatitis A and hepatitis B? As you mentioned that they're they're slightly different.
That's correct. They're all viral conditions, yes. And they all affect the liver, so they all damage the liver to one extent or the other. They're transmitted differently.
Yeah.
So hepatitis C, which is what we're focusing on today, is mainly blood-to-blood. But hepatitis B can also be is also transmitted from blood to blood, and but also other body fluids like vaginal fluids or semen. And hepatitis A is from feces.
Mm. Okay, moving on to next question. I'll ask you there, Lisa. Can you explain how partnership arrangements work with the management of hepatitis C?
Yeah, sure. The Department of Health has a partnership approach to planning services for people with, or trying to prevent hepatitis C, but also services for people affected by hepatitis C. So basically what that means is that the affected person is central to what we do, and the communities that are also affected by hepatitis C. So we work really closely with community organisations that are working directly with people with hepatitis C, or supporting their families or their people around them or the communities, non-government organisations, health professionals like GPs and Aboriginal health workers and nurses who are involved in the care and support or the diagnosis of hepatitis C, researchers and other departments that are important in planning services. So it's really about keeping front of mind the lived experience of somebody with hepatitis C, and thinking and listening to their stories and building that into the way we plan services and monitor services.
Mm. You're listening to Health Matters here on Noongar Radio with me, Jeff Michael, and joining us in the studio, Dr. Eric Kong, Frank Farmer, Francine Aids, and Lisa Bastian. We'll take a music break and we'll come back in just join us in the studio, Dr. Eric Kong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Aids. And today's topic is hepatitis C. And Francine, I'm going to ask you this question now. How do you get hepatitis C?
Thanks, Jeff. In Australia, most Hep C infections occur as a result of sharing needles and other equipment that people use for injecting drugs. You can catch Hep C even if you only share needles or other equipment once. Other ways that you can catch Hep C include a needle stick injury in a healthcare setting, the risk of catching Hep C from a needle found in a community setting, such as in a park, is very, very low. But please, you know, if that happens, go and see your GP and get tested. Getting any body art, such as tattooing or piercings, when the equipment isn't sterile. Having unprotected sex involving blood or damage to the skin, such as anal sex or unprotected sex with a woman during her period. The risk of infection through penile vaginal sex is very low. Sharing personal hygiene items that can have traces of blood on them, such as razors, toothbrushes and dental floss. So they're the main ways that you can catch Hep C.
Is there a risk through pregnancy and breastfeeding?
Yeah, there's a low risk of an infected mother passing on Hep C to her baby, either during pregnancy or during birth. There is almost no risk from breast milk. Breastfeeding is safe unless nipples are cracked or bleeding.
Mm. Okay, I'll ask you, Eric, for this one. What are the signs and symptoms?
Thanks, Jeff. That's a good question. Sometimes it's hard to know if someone has Hep C because the symptoms or signs are actually quite minor. It's like having a flu-like illness. You know, you might feel a little bit tired, you might lose your appetite, you have a bit of fever or joint pains. So it's really hard to know. And if someone thinks they might be at risk of catching Hep C from something they've done, it's probably a good idea for them to see their health professional, either a GP or health worker. But in some other cases, people can have some more definite symptoms of hepatitis, like Frank mentioned earlier, the colour of the urine gets quite dark, and then the skin and eyes, the white of the eyes, turn a little bit yellow or jaundiced as we know them. The important thing is that if someone thinks they might be at risk of having hepatitis C and they might exhibit some symptoms, that they go and see their health professional and get a blood test. And that's a really easy way of testing and knowing if someone has hepatitis C.
And this is Health Matters with me, Jeff Michael, and today we're talking about hepatitis C. We're talking about hepatitis C today on Health Matters here on Noongar Radio, and experts in the studio, Dr. Eric Hong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Eads. And if you want to check out this info on the internet, you can go to healthywa.wa.gov.au. And I might ask you, Eric, what happens when someone catches Hep C?
Good question, Jeff. Oh, let's take the scenario where someone has injected some drugs into themselves and then they've unfortunately contracted the virus. Most people probably don't have any symptoms at first, but if they do, they might be minor flu-like symptoms. And in some rare cases, they might get quite sick, and they get something called jaundice when their skin and the eyes turn yellow. So we're thinking that maybe a quarter of people who contract Hep C get to clear it from their body, so they recover from it. But that means that three quarters of people who catch Hep C don't, and the virus actually stays in their body for the rest of their life. And this is a major group in Australia that have hepatitis C. And most of these people actually, Jeff, doing quite well. I mean, they can probably do everything they need to every day, but some of them also have some sort of very low-grade symptoms. They might feel a little bit tired. They might have occasional joint pains, and they might feel a little bit of a loss of appetite. So it really depends whether the group is the first group, you know, the 1 in 4 that get rid of the virus, or the 3 out of 4 which actually have the virus for the rest of life if they have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Now, Frank, I understand that we have new hepatitis C medicines available.
That's correct. We do. We've had treatments for hepatitis C for some time, but the treatments have improved significantly in recent times, and so there's a real opportunity now for people to be cured of hepatitis C. Eric mentioned a moment ago that 75% of people would be expected to carry the virus for life. However, if they do access treatments, there's an opportunity to be cured of hepatitis C. And the treatments are so successful that we anticipate that 95% of people who undertake the new treatments will be cured of hepatitis C. The treatments have just recently become available to the community through the PBS scheme, or the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme, which is a fantastic breakthrough, and we commend the federal government for making the treatments available, because otherwise they would be out of the reach of most people financially. The availability of these treatments marks a new era in hepatitis C treatment, and technically, over time, it could mean that hepatitis C could be eliminated. The benefits of the new treatments include, as I've just said, that 90% of people who undertake treatment are likely to be cured of hepatitis C. The new treatments can be taken as tablets, and they have very few side effects. The treatment regime varies between 8 to 12 weeks for most people, and they're non-interferon-based. So the treatments that we've known up to now have been interferon-based, and that's made them very difficult for people to adhere to. But these treatments, with few side effects, shorter duration of treatment, are a tremendous breakthrough for people, and we'd recommend that people have a chat to their GP to find out more about these treatments, because they should be available to people through the community.
Mm. This is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. Let's take another music break. Let's go back to the 70s. This is Free. Just there with Wishing Well here on Noongar Radio. And this is Health Matters, and today's topic is Hepatitis C. And joining us in the studio, Dr. Eric Hong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Eads. Dr. Eric, how many people have Hepatitis C?
Well, in Australia, it's estimated that almost 200,000 people have Hepatitis C. That means they're carrying the virus and living with the virus, and these people are known to be having chronic Hep C. In WA, usually about 1,000 people contract the virus every year. So it is quite a significant problem. Within the different populations, it's known that there are higher rates of Hep C amongst Aboriginal people than non-Aboriginal people. In 2014, for example, the rates were almost 22 times higher amongst Aboriginal people from newly acquired Hep C than non-Aboriginal people. So it's quite a big problem in Australia and also amongst Aboriginal people.
And Frank, how can hepatitis C be prevented?
Thanks, Jeff. Well, we've talked about how hepatitis C can be transmitted from one person to another, and we've mentioned that there are new treatments available, but prevention is always better than the cure, and so we're very keen for people to have a good understanding of how they can prevent coming in contact with hepatitis C. So one thing that's very important for people to understand is that there is no vaccine for hepatitis C. There is a vaccine for hepatitis B, for example, and hepatitis A, but not for hepatitis C. So it's terribly important that people have an understanding of how it's transmitted from one person to another and how they can prevent that. So the information that we would give people to reduce the risk of catching hepatitis C is the following. We've mentioned that it's really very much tied back to the sharing of injecting drug-using equipment. So not to inject drugs is always a good way not to come to ensure that you don't come in contact with hepatitis C. There are other ways to take drugs if people want to do that. But if people do want to inject drugs, we would always recommend that they never share needles, syringes, filters, water or spoons, that they wash their hands or swab their fingers before touching another person's injection site. We'd recommend that people always use sterile needles and syringes, which can be obtained from almost every chemist in Western Australia, although they have to be purchased from a chemist. And of course they are available from needle and syringe exchanges, and there are a number of exchanges that operate in Perth. One is operated in the city and the other is operated by the West Australian AIDS Council, which operate from a van which goes out into the suburbs. At Hepatitis WA we also distribute needles and syringes, so if people want to find out more about where they can obtain needles and syringes, they can always contact Hepatitis WA and we'd let them know. For people who live in the country, country hospitals distribute needle and syringes from their accident and emergency departments after hours. So the aim of the distribution of needles and syringes in Western Australia is to try and make them available to people 24/7. We've said earlier that the main means of transmission is blood to blood and through the sharing of injecting drug-using equipment, and that transmission through sex or sexual behaviour is not common. However, it can happen, and our advice is that for people to use condoms or dental dams, which is dental dams are a thin layer of latex which can be held over the vaginal or anal area during oral sex, and always to use water-based lubricants. I'm sure those messages are well known by people in the community. And if there is a chance of blood-to-blood contact during sex, for example during anal sex where the lining of the anus is easily broken, or during menstruation and during some sexual practices that may involve bleeding or broken skin, people are well advised to use protection. And precautions should always be taken if there are any cuts or lesions on or close to the genitals. Another thing we're concerned about is body art, and we have mentioned earlier to ensure that if people are receiving tattoos or piercing, that to make sure that the body artist uses sterilised equipment, new razors, new inks and new needles each time they're doing a tattoo or a piercing. One thing that we're very concerned about is that if people choose to get body art from a non-professional source, what we would call backyard tattooing, that this can be particularly risky, and we would certainly recommend that people don't do that, that they seek out a professional tattooist. Also, in terms of domestic scenario, we would suggest not to share personal hygiene items like razors, toothbrushes and dental floss. And healthcare workers should always use infection control procedures in their workplace.
Yeah, very, very important information there, Frank. And Eric, getting back to what we kind of touched on earlier. Now, we're talking about new medicines. Who can prescribe the new medicines?
Well, under the new changes to the PBS, GPs can now prescribe the new antiviral medications for hepatitis C. There are some conditions that they have to follow before they can do that. For example, getting in touch with a certain type of specialist. But now it's accessible in the community for all patients. Before, it used to be only through specialists or the hospitals.
And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. And if you want to find out a bit more info, you can go to the website healthywa.wa.gov.au. That's Yothu Yindi just there, calling every nation. And this is Noongar Radio, and this is Health Matters with me, Jeff Michael, and joining us in the studio, experts. They are, looking at my notes here, Dr. Eric Kong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Eads. And speaking of you there, Frank, thank you. Tell us, are the new medicines better than the old ones?
Yeah, Jeff, definitely. There's been a lot of changes in Hep C treatment. It's now shorter. There are tablets you take. There are no injections. There's less side effects, and the treatments are better tolerated by people. The new direct-acting antivirals, they're more effective, they can result in a cure for 90 to 95% of people. As I said, they're taken as tablets only and have very few side effects. And the treatment period is shorter. It's now, you now take the treatment for as little as 8 to 12 weeks in most cases. And the option of interferon-free treatment options. I know in the past a lot of people have had quite bad experiences with interferon treatment, but, the message we want to get out there is that there have been real changes in the treatment options available for people with Hep C.
Is everyone eligible for treatment? Frank?
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, really good news. Everybody is available for the treatment because, as I said earlier, the treatments are now available on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, and they will become increasingly available through GPs in the community. So any adult, that is anybody over the age of 18, who holds a Medicare card and who does have chronic hepatitis C will be able to access the treatments regardless of the stage of their disease. There are no limits on who's eligible for the treatments, including people who are currently injecting drugs, which is great news, as they are also a priority population for hepatitis C treatment. And the cost is very accessible. People are usually only charged a co-payment price for a prescription, which is $38.30 for general patients and $6.20 for concessional patients. Another point I'd like to make is that what we're hoping is that these treatments will be readily available through most GPs in the community over time. So we are recommending that people who want to find out more information about the new treatments to have a talk to a GP. Not all GPs are prescribing the new treatments at the moment. So if the GP that you consult with isn't prescribing, ask that GP to refer you to a GP who is prescribing. These treatments have only become available since the 1st of March, so it's early days. What we need to do is build capacity in the primary healthcare sector with GPs to take a greater interest in hepatitis C medicine and to ensure that more people can access these treatments readily. So, by all means, talk to your GP, but you may have to be referred to another GP practice to get hold of these treatments.
Yeah, okay. And what if you are incarcerated? Can you still access the treatment?
Yes, you can. And we're very, very pleased about that, that the treatments have been available to people in prisons. And so we'd encourage anybody that's in a prison setting to have a talk to the clinical staff there to find out how they might be able to access treatments whilst they're in prison. Being in prison is an ideal place to undertake these treatments because it's a stable environment. The treatments regime now only takes 3 months, so even for people who are in prison for a relatively short period of time, it could be a good opportunity for them to undertake the treatments. So, as I said earlier, they're available to everybody. It's great news. If people are in prison or if people are still continuing to inject drugs, they're not excluded from these treatments.
And most importantly, contact information for Hepatitis WA's, what phone number can they call?
The best phone number to have a talk to us at Hepatitis WA is 9328 8538. So that's our information line, that's 9328 8538. And we can also go onto our website to get more information about hepatitis C. So our website is www.hepatitiswa.com.au.
Okay, very important information there. Thanks, Frank. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. Health Matters, and today we're talking about hepatitis C. And in the studio have Dr. Eric Kong, Frank Farmer, and Francine Eads. And just before we do go on Health Matters, Francine, is there a message you want to let the listeners know about before we go?
I think, you know, we've given quite a bit of information about Hep C today, and I'd say to people, don't be ashamed to ask for help. I know that many Noongar families are affected by family members who use drugs, and I'd say to people, don't be ashamed to ask for help. I'd also like to get it out there that Derbal Yerrigan Health Service clinics, you can go up to the receptionist and ask at each of the clinics across the four clinics across Perth and ask for a FIC pack, no questions asked, but just move away from the building after you're given your FIC pack. I'd also encourage our mob every year as part of your full health check to get a full screening done of for all bloodborne viruses and STIs as part of your full adult health check.
Yeah. Frank, what would you like to say to the listeners before we do go?
Thanks, Jeff. Just picking up on what Francine was talking about, I'd like to congratulate Derbal Yerrigan for making sterile needles and syringes available through their health services. I think that's a tremendous step forward. In Australia, I think we should be incredibly proud of the fact that we've made needle and syringe programs the cornerstone of our approach and response to viral hepatitis and hepatitis C in particular. And prevention is better than the cure. So we know that hepatitis C is almost exclusively tied back to the sharing of injecting drug-using equipment, so we encourage people who do choose to inject drugs to access needle and syringe programs. But there is a cure, so we've talked today about the new treatments that are available. They're easy to take. They should be easier to access over time, so I'd encourage people to talk to their GP and find out more about the new treatments.
Okay, and finally, Dr. Eric, what would you like to
say to listeners? Thanks, Jeff. Same sort of messages as Francine and Frank, but I'd like to add that if anyone listening thinks they could be at risk of Hep C, perhaps from injecting drug use, it's important that they see their GP and talk about having a test. That's the important thing, is to get tested. And like Frank said, these are amazing times because these new drugs are a revolution in the treatment of Hep C. Hep C can be cured now, and it's available, these drugs, in the community. I'd like to thank your listeners for paying attention today, and thanks, Jeff, for inviting us today.
Jeff.
It's been a pleasure. And, this is Health Matters, right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. and in digital. And before we do go, lastly, the contact information for Hepatitis WA, if people want to find out a bit more. What was the phone number again, Frank?
Our information line is 9328 8538.
Okay, thanks Frank.
Thanks Jeff.
Great scene. And Eric, and this has been Health Matters here on Noongar Radio.